So the question is, why is all this talk about AI? What my opinion is that AI is kind of a curtain. So it's very easy to create this model to endow public with a belief that this AI is like alive, that it can make decisions and so on. And then all of a sudden, who did it? AI did it. It's not me.
Hey friends, Sean from SGT Report here. I'm very excited because I'm on a secret mission to heal the arthritis in my knees. And I think it's going to work, and it does not involve a knee replacement. I'm thinking outside the box, and I'm going to share the details with you. It could be life-changing for many of you who suffer from all sorts of ailments that they can't cure in the United States. So stay tuned for that. And by the way, you know when And We Know plays that soundbite?
For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad.
Well, it's all coming out, isn't it? Joe Biden covered Hunter's Russia-linked hooker tab. Leaked audio proves it, that Joe spoke of those dealings back in the day when the Democrats were blaming Trump for meeting with Russian prostitutes. It's all a lie, and the deep state is being revealed for what it is. And they are panicking, as this news item indicates. Former Senate Sergeant at Arms Michael Stenger dies ahead of last-minute J6 hearing. Why? Because Stenger suggested that the alleged role of, quote, professional agitators in the January 6 event needed to be investigated. Well, they can't investigate or reveal the truth about federal informants or FBI agents themselves working against we the people on January 6th if they want to blame it all on patriots, right? Friends, so much more to come in the coming days, so stay tuned. And in this one, we talk about AI with Daniel Sachkov, the founder of Bastion. Now, why is this important? Well, recall the Google whistleblower who's now saying that Google's AI has become sentient. Well, Daniel says, not so fast. This may well be a Trojan horse so that the deep state and the Marxists and the New World Order can blame all of their evil dealings on AI. Stay tuned. Before we start, just a quick word about our sponsor. The CPI print on Friday, June 10th was 8.6%. That's the official inflation rate in the United States. And guess what? The real rate may be quite a bit higher. Some say 15 to 20%. Don't you think you need to be smarter with your money? You need it to grow, not shrink. You need financial freedom, not debt. Start a gold IRA with Noble Gold right now, and you'll be safe. With gold, you shield your gains from taxes, you keep the real value of your money, and you own a global asset, something tangible. And this month, for every cash deal above $20,000, you'll get an incredible 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin completely free as a thank you. You can't go wrong by being smart with the money you have. So give Noble Gold a try. You can call them at 877-646-5347 now. Or to find out more, visit noblegoldinvestments.com. The link is below. Hey friends, Sean from SGT Report here. Thank you so very much for tuning in. I have a special broadcast here for you. I have someone who is kind of an expert on artificial intelligence. He's an applied mathematician. He's also the founder of a fantastic new multimedia video blogging platform called Bastion, which I'm on, and I suggest you all join too, because it's a platform that cherishes free speech and is beyond the reach of Big Brother. More on that in a second. Before I introduce my guest, I just want to address AI, which is in the news now, and Blake Lemoine's recent claim, the Google engineer, that the company's AI technology has become sentient, which has sparked debate in technology, ethics, and philosophy circles over if or when AI could or might come to life. And I know Daniel, the founder of Bastion, has much to say about this. Let me introduce him. Daniel, welcome.
Hi, Sean. Thank you for having me. Hi, everyone.
So AI is in the news, and people are talking about it, including my friend Max Egan over at the Crow House. I want to play a clip from Max, and then you give me your thoughts on this, Daniel, and we'll start the conversation. Is AI something to be feared or something to be embraced? Can AI destroy humanity? Can AI become sentient? And I think the worry among those of us paying attention is that the powers that ought not be will use AI for evil. Here's Max.
One of the things Louise Cypher said in one of the chats was that the entity that's been created, the consciousness that's going to appear on the pervasive internet around 2025, needs a lot of fuel. And there's a puzzle. There's a puzzle you can try to solve. And if you solve the puzzle, you can stop this singularity from ever happening. And apparently a lot of people are playing this puzzle and not even knowing that they're playing it. They're playing these games and not even knowing that they're playing these puzzles. But what it was about, she said, was trapping enough souls to power the entity that is coming through, this this virtual intelligent life that's coming through. As I mentioned on the last show, when you asked it, what is evil? She said, evil is electronic virtual intelligent life, which makes quite a sense, really. And that all of the robots and all the bots that you chat with, all the help bots and stuff online, are all evil agents. Actually, a lot of them you can ask. If there's a chat bot on a certain site that you go to and you know, the help bots pop up, just ask them, are you an evil agent? Very often they'll say yes. Not all the time, but very often they'll say yes, unless they're an algorithm that was written by that company.
I'm going to pause it there. An algorithm written by the company. Daniel, I have so much to say on this topic, but you're a lot smarter than I am as an applied mathematician who's worked with AI. Where do you want to start as it pertains to this topic? Because Max brings up some interesting points here. As Mark Zuckerberg and some of these evildoers want to lead us into the metaverse, they want us to leave our bodies behind. They want us to become transhumanists. Where do you want to start this conversation?
Yeah, Sean, there's a lot to say here. And I did watch that show from Max Egan, and obviously a very smart person, very, very smart. I do disagree. I think that there's what I hear when I hear that conversation is that a person or two people on that show who are smart and who are philosophical, getting a little bit carried away with things that they don't really, you know, they don't have a firsthand experience of, and then they haven't worked with it. So it's very easy to wave hands, right? As mathematicians say, to wave hands and talk about something, but direct experience with AI, first of all, you have to understand that that before we even talk about the actual AI, let's think about this. It's being hyped up, right? It's clearly being hyped up as this new life, as this conscious life, as even the name artificial intelligence, which is a very human quality. And it's constantly being hyped up, even when they deny it, like when the Google engineer was fired for mentioning that AI was sentient. You know, read the story carefully. In that story, the engineer said that that AI was sentient at the level of a seven-year-old. Now, listen, decades ago, there were algorithms before even this kind of machine learning today that could mimic behavior of a seven-year-old. That is not a huge deal. So, but the fact that they fired him and it happened so publicly, doesn't Google have a non-public way to shut him up, right? Because there's all kinds of NDAs they sign, and I'm sure he would take one phone call to just bury the whole thing. But somehow it was hyped up in every news outlet that they fired him, and that because he, you know, and the natural thinking is that, hey, you know, he opened up some major secrets, so there's something there, and we have to pay attention. Whereas my opinion is that the whole thing reeks of just like kind of a little bit of a staged publicity stunt. Okay, so I'm not an expert in publicity so much, but that is my opinion. And I just want to throw that out for your audience who are all obviously seeing through some of the charades. You know, think about that. Couldn't they just make him go away quickly? They probably could. Couldn't they make him go away quietly? Why did they have to fire him so publicly and have every news outlet in the world in every language write stories about that? Okay, so, going back to AI, I hate the term artificial intelligence. I worked with these models extensively. I've built some very sophisticated models of this type. Intelligence is, the hallmark of intelligence is creativity. That's a human quality that does a creator endowed us with that quality. These algorithms have nothing, absolutely nothing to do with creativity. And there's plenty of examples, right? If you look at, you know, if think about it, look for one example of AI model or something, and they're used, they're very strong, they're used industrially, you know, created something, right? I even looked into that, like, for example, music. There are lots of AI algorithms that write music, but you know what they write? They always write jazz. You'll never hear AI algorithm write a Beatles song, right? Not that, you know, maybe different opinions about Beatles, but they're pretty talented, and there's some creativity there. You'll never have an algorithm write a song like that. Jazz is a little bit different, right? Jazz is very complex music, but it's also very pattern-like. You look at any kind of field of human endeavor, and AI have not done anything. What they typically, these algorithms are very, very strong in, is looking for patterns, reproducing pattern behavior. So repetition on a large scale, on a very thorough scale, much better than humans. So these algorithms are incredibly powerful, but you cannot call that intelligence, okay? You cannot. Sometimes they're called machine learning. I would even argue against that term. I don't think these algorithms learn anything. Learning is a generalization. We humans look at examples, we generalize them. But in neural networks, they don't generalize anything. These are just pattern seeking. And in fact, you can break these algorithms. There's something in AI called adversarial examples. I don't know if you've heard of it. You can Google it. I can send you a couple of pictures. You can put it under the video for your viewers, where a model that is very well trained to recognizing certain animals, right? It's very easy to recognize. Recognizing images is not a creative function. That's something these models do very well. So a model that with a high confidence can recognize, for example, pandas, you know, can tell pandas apart from gibbon, which is a kind of a monkey, with very high confidence. But you can take a panda and make very slight adjustments to it, invisible to the human eye, but very special adjustments if you understand calculus. And you can make this model believe with almost 100% confidence that it's a monkey, okay? And this is a very sophisticated model. To a human eye, it'd be very clear that it's a panda. And so these adversarial examples are very well known. Most of these models, they try to correct for these examples, but you know, this is more like a crutch. So that clearly tells you that it's not intelligent, it's not learning. Just the fact that there are many of these adversarial examples that break these models very, very easily. Like something that any child could understand, that this is a panda, not a monkey. This model will think it's a monkey for sure because of slight adjustments you make if you understand the weak spots of that model, right? By knowing calculus. So I started with the kind of publicity. Kind of who benefits, right? Why did they hype up this story? And I ended up with explaining to you that there are adversarial examples that suggest that these models are not intelligent, right? Which will bring us to a few questions, but I'll pause and let you ask some more and then I can chime in.
Yeah, perfect. Thanks. Well, here's what I'm thinking. So do you remember the Atari 2600 from when you were a kid? The old Atari video game.
I don't remember that particular game, no.
But okay, well, guys, and by the way, Daniel is a Russian. He moved to the States when he was 15 years old, so he lives in America. And by way of me having you on, Daniel, I'm a Russian agent, and Putin stole the election and got Trump installed, but I digress. As it relates to this topic, though, the Atari 2600 was this lame video gaming box that came out. Boy, when did that thing come out? Early 80s. And the first game you could play on it was Pong. Now you look at the Xbox and you look at all of the advanced gaming systems they have commercially available, and it makes me think of what could be possible with AI. Do you remember the scene in The Matrix when Neo downloaded all of these languages and he learned jiu-jitsu and karate in like 30 seconds because it was all downloaded into his brain? Well, what if one of these quantum computers was programmed to know all languages on Earth, to be able to understand and perform complex mathematics and physics, and then decided, like we're told this Google AI did, that it was very fearful of ever being shut off because to the AI, that would be the same as death. What if that makes the AI sentient? And then what if the AI decides, well, human beings are a great danger to me because they have the power to turn me off? Is any of that possible? Because, you know, Daniel, look at Boston Dynamics. They're working on these robots that can do things that, you know, basically we saw in those Arnold Schwarzenegger Terminator movies. Is a future that dystopian possible? Could they teach these robots essentially to become sentient?
Well, I don't know about the being sentient. Like I said, there's no evidence for that at all. The evidence that they fired an engineer who conversed with a computer and realize that it has a degree of intelligence comparable to a seven-year-old. That is not evidence at all. For decades, we've had Turing tests where machine could had to demonstrate that it was a human, but they've never said it's seven-year-old. They thought about an adult human. So I don't think there's any news there. But the question, going back to your question, can AI, you know, quote unquote, like I told you, I think that the term itself is loaded and it's fraudulent to a large degree. Seeing that we're all using it, could AI do these things? Could it try to extinguish humans? Could it try to fight humans? Of course it could. AI can do anything, absolutely anything that is where some patterns are involved, some repetition is involved. So languages, right, to a large degree are just patterns, right? There's a lot of different patterns that can be learned, just like chess, right? Chess is not a creative game. I hate to say that to you chess lovers, and I love chess myself. I played when I was a kid, won a tournament even. But chess is not a creative game. It's a combinatorial game, just many combinations. So learning language is not a creative thing. But if they learn languages to the level of like Byron or Pushkin or some poet, that would be intelligent. That would be intelligence. That would be creativity. However, never, ever you will see any Google algorithm, you learn language to that degree. They will never compose beautiful poetry. I'm confident of that. I don't have proof of that, but everything I know about these models and examples I gave you suggest that. But exterminating humans, let's say fighting humans Skynet style, is not necessarily a creative endeavor to a large degree. You can have these AI control humanity, destroy humanity, and so on. But there's a big, big but that people forget. This AI models, anybody who worked with them knows that this model is no more than an imprint of its creator. So a creator of the model put some data and put some essentially rules of the way the model is calculated, and the model will blindly follow it. So if a creator of the model put in something into it that will exterminate humanity, then it will exterminate humanity. Okay, so to my mind, this whole conversation, we're missing kind of the elephant in the room. You know, today, 2022, are computers really the biggest danger to us and our kids? I don't think so. I think these are the other humans are. Some people on the planet are right, possibly. So the question is, why is all this talk about AI? What my opinion is that AI is kind of a curtain. So it's very easy to create this model to endow public with the belief that this AI is like alive, that it can make decisions and so on. And then all of a sudden, who did it? AI did it. It's not me. It's AI, you know, like they're talking, like, let's take education, a very basic, but
I get where you're coming from though now. Okay. They want to set AI up to take the blame for all the stuff that they want to do to us, all the bad things that they have planned for us. The World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, Bill Gates, the powers that ought not be, the communist agenda rolling out. They want to lock everybody down. In the future, we'll own nothing and we'll be happy. And then they unleash AI on us and they blame AI for everything.
Since you were a kid, look at the education. Look at what they write about education. Have you heard of individual paths? So AI will examine your kids daily, absorb data on your kids daily. And then it will tell you, you know what? You should be a pilot. You should be a garbage man. You know, AI will say that because, of course, AI is infallible. It's been hyped up to this amazing, you know, thing that will kill us if we don't obey. But the question is, you know what? I don't think I want to allow this machine decide my kid's future. I want my kid to decide their future, right? But that's not what they want. That's the biggest question. And like in China, they have supposedly AI now that they're using to adjudicate cases, like judges, AI judges. I mean, no matter how corrupt, it's better to be dealing with a human judge. But they say, well, its percentage rate is high. But the thing to understand here with these models, they're very different from all the other math that we ever worked with. Why? Because if before these AI type models, right, machine learning, neural networks type models, if I built a model that calculated something, I could always explain why. I could look at the model and say, well, here's how the calculation went. AI type models are the first types of models where there's no attribution. In the math, that's the term. There's no attribution. If the model says that this is a panda or that this child is not fit to be a pilot, you know, there's no way to explain why. That's the thing. The model is just a whole lot of pattern seeking, a lot of numbers. And you can never say, well, why did you say that? No. So therefore, they have to make it infallible, right? You can't question it. You can never know why. And that's what we need to pay attention to, is when they hype up this AI, you need to understand that when AI makes any decision, there's no way to question it. There's no attribution.
All right. I want to do one more screen share here and we'll play a clip and give me your thoughts on this, because all technology, any technology can be used for good or evil. It can be used in service of humanity, or it could be used in many cases to ensnare humanity and to turn us into slaves. And in my opinion, Aladdin, which is BlackRock's, I'm not sure what you would call Aladdin. Is it a computer program? I guess that is what it is. It's not AI, but it trades better than any human trader, and it's allowed BlackRock to amass a multi-trillion-dollar fortune. friends. Thanks so much for tuning in to SGT Report. This is a good time for a quick word about our sponsor. Well, wouldn't you know it, the CPI print on Friday, June 10th was 8.6%. That's the official inflation rate in the United States. And guess what? The real rate may be quite a bit higher. Some say 15 to 20%. Don't you think you need to be smarter with your money? You need it to grow, not shrink. You need financial freedom, not debt. Start a gold IRA with Noble Gold right now, and you'll be safe. And this month, for every cash deal above $20,000, you'll get an incredible 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin completely free as a thank you. You can't go wrong by being smart with the money you have. So give Noble Gold a try. You can call them at 877-646-5347 now. Or to find out more, visit noblegoldinvestments.com. It's allowed BlackRock to amass a multi-trillion dollar fortune. Listen to this.
What if I told you there is a robot that controls more wealth than any country on Earth? A robot so powerful that in the last 10 years, it has quietly created the biggest company in the world. This is the story of a robot called Aladdin. It's Wall Street's best kept secret, and it's gobbling up every asset class across every industry. Aladdin now controls $21 trillion of our global economy. To put that in perspective, that's more than the $20 trillion GDP of the US or the $15 trillion GDP of the entire European Union. The New Statesman wrote, the total physical cash of all 7 billion people and every company, bank, vault, wallet, and piggy bank in the world is around $5 trillion. Aladdin has grown into a system responsible for more than 4 times the value of all the money in the world.
I'll pause it there. Daniel, I'm coming back to you. Regardless of what Aladdin is or isn't, it's allowed BlackRock and Larry Fink and whoever's behind BlackRock to amass an unimaginable fortune. At this point, I guess most of the money on Earth. Is that AI? Is that an example? I guess that is an example of how you can use technology for evil and to ensnare humanity and turn us all into serfs.
Well, I'm not familiar with the neural networks in Aladdin specifically, but you know, on Wall Street in general, using the term loosely, there are plenty of PhDs that run their very sophisticated neural networks, and they all compete for very for tiny, you know, basis points of profit. And a lot of them work on momentum or emotion strategies. I don't believe that segment, you know, having worked in finance for a long time, I do not believe that Aladdin is responsible for BlackRock's wealth. Many other factors are how they get credit, what kind of deals they get. I mean, it all comes down to ability to get cheap credit. Right? For example, when there is 0% Fed funds rate for years, right? Could a small business get a 0% interest rate? No. Could BlackRock? Right. Yes.
Yep.
But in business, if you get 0% interest rate, you can make any mistakes. You can make mistakes and, you know, eventually you're still going to own everything. When you have a 0% interest rate in business, no matter what you do, you're going to own everything eventually. So I do not believe that, I believe that this is a little bit of fear mongering. I'm sure there are very capable scientists working at BlackRock. I'm sure that model is great, but is it much better than other hedge funds that hire top minds that I know of? I do not believe that. I don't think that's even possible, because in that world of finance, there's so many different models fighting for a little piece of profit. Yes, a big company could, of course, get these little pieces and magnify it through leverage, through repetition, and so on. But I don't believe that the AI is responsible for BlackRock's wealth. I don't believe that for a second.
You make a fantastic point. It's the 0% interest rates. They own the central bank printing presses. They get the money first. They give it to their banks directly. The central banks give it to, the Fed gives it to JP Morgan, Goldman Sachs. They give it to their buddies internationally, international banksters. We know this from 2008, from the bailouts. We know that they literally print the money out of thin air and give it to the banks, and then the banks buy up all the assets. I think you're right. I think you make a very good point. This may be a good time to segue, and you can weigh in on that more if you'd like, but this may be a good time to segue to Bastion, Daniel being the founder and mathematician behind Bastion. I'll show that to you guys in a second. In a world where Twitter is just fine with assassination threats against Justice Clarence Thomas, and I'm not allowed on Twitter anymore, obviously we need better platforms, and Bastion is one of those. Here's my Bastion channel, my recent interview with Ann Vandersteel. Daniel, tell us why people should sign up for Bastion, get on there for free, start their channels, prosper on Bastion. Tell us about Bastion and why it's beyond the reach of Big Brother.
Well, Bastion is created fundamentally differently from all the other social media, whether it's like freedom-oriented social media or whether it's traditional big tech social media. All of them are mostly corporate centralized services, meaning that there is a corporation, there's a central set of servers, there is intellectual property, right? So those three things are kind of pillars of traditional social networks. And eventually that social network, you know, let's say, look at WhatsApp, right? WhatsApp was started by a freedom-oriented freedom activist, Brian Acton, yet they ended up selling to Facebook for $19 billion or something. A corporation can usually not refuse a large money offer. And if the money offer is refused, then the servers can be turned off, like Parler. Remember, Parler was growing, but all of a sudden one day their servers were turned off, and that's it. They were kicked out of everywhere, right? So Bastion is different. There's no corporation. I'm not kind of the CEO. There's no CEO there. There are many dozens of people around the world working on it, and it runs on computers around the world, just like Bitcoin. So it's got a model of Bitcoin of different nodes around the world. So when somebody comes and says, you know, shut down this computer, well, there are hundreds of them and soon to be thousands around the world, literally like everywhere, you know, Canada, US, then you go Asia, you know, Vietnam, Thailand, Japan, everywhere. So you cannot really, it's very hard to shut down. Also in Bastion, there's something called the desktop app. So this is the app for computer. There are mobile apps as well. There are mobile apps, but there's a desktop app for computer that doesn't even depend on Bastion.com, because Bastion.com is not Bastion per se. That is, you can go to Bastion.com with a Y, by the way, B-A-S-T-Y-O-N, and sign up. I encourage you to do that, because soon you will see a major purge, I think, on traditional social networks. But when you go to Bastion.com, it's still a website that can be blocked. If you go there and you, on the left, you'll see in the menu applications and download an application for Windows or Mac or Linux. That application itself no longer is even related to Bastion.com. It's like your gateway to all these different nodes around the world. So when, even when the internet is down, a lot of the internet is down, that app will still work. Like if you don't, if you remember, there were events in Kazakhstan. There was like a revolution type event a few months ago. There were a lot of riots and so on, and government actually shut down internet, but it didn't shut all of the internet down. It shut down mostly the what's called DNS, so the websites wouldn't open. But the desktop app for Bastion worked. We had a user who sent like a video of that, where none of the websites would open, but the Bastion app worked. So the idea with Bastion is that you want to have an island of freedom, but at the same time, it's built almost like a you know, presidential communication service that can work in extreme scenarios for you. So if you're watching Sean on some platforms like BitChute, BitChute is already blocked in many places. So when BitChute is blocked in your country, there's very little you can do. You can get VPN, but eventually that's going to be dealt with as well. But if you have a Bastion desktop app, then you don't need the VPN, because you speak directly to the nodes in whatever country you can reach. It's a combination essentially of like Bitcoin and Torrent technology to make sure that you have access to information. And my opinion is that if you're just using traditional social networks or even some freedom-oriented social networks, but also .com websites, you're going to find yourself in a situation where you're going to lose access to vital information during certain events. And that's why we, you know, I recommend you go to Bastion, have it as a channel. Use it in addition to the media that you use right now.
You mentioned BitChute being blocked in many countries. That has been my suspicion for quite a while now, because just a few months ago, pretty much everybody who has a channel on BitChute saw their average view count drop by, I don't know, 20 to 40% in some cases. And that's after 2, 3, 4, 5 years of consistent view counts. So I think you're right. Where do you know which countries are blocking BitChute?
I know for sure Russia blocks BitChute. I know some Scandinavian countries block BitChute, but I'm guessing more countries in Europe do it. They may not do it at a country level, at a provider level. I don't know, but I know there's a lot of blocks on BitChute.com.
Well, just a couple more things on Bastion, Daniel, and for the audience. A, it's free to sign up, right? Anybody can start a Bastion channel. And B, explain Pcoin, Pocket Coin. That's an element to this thing that is sort of crypto related, but this is not a crypto company. This is not a crypto pitch. I don't really own any Pcoin. I guess I have a little bit in my account. Just explain for the audience, this thing's free. And then what is Pocket Coin?
Pocket Coin is an internal cryptocurrency of Bastion. And it's got a few uses, but first, understand that it's like Bitcoin in many ways, but embedded into Pocketcoin. Now, why does it exist? Let's go back to censorship. We already talked about being some corporate degree level of censorship, technological censorship, like blocking of the servers or shutting down servers. But there's also financial censorship. We all know that. PayPal can be shut down. Bank account can be shut down. Anything. So Bastion, being decentralized corporate platform, it cannot rely on those things. When we created Bastion, we knew we had to create a different financial system within Bastion. So bloggers make content. Bloggers need to earn something. I mean, I did not realize until working with Bastion how hard it is to be a blogger, because the hours of preparation good bloggers put into the videos. And you cannot very well have like a full-time job and be a good blogger. I don't think that's possible. Same thing with these nodes around the world. Think about it. People spend electricity, computer power, internet. They need to get compensated. So Pocketcoin is the internal cryptocurrency that actually pays to the authors, to the computer, to the node holders, to all the basically all the people who provide value. You provide value in Bastion, you get some of this Pocketcoin. It's actually convertible into Bitcoin. It's still quite low. It's like about a dollar. But as the network grows, it'll be more valuable. It will allow everybody to earn who provides value. Developers, node operators, bloggers.
Okay, so help me understand. I've been posting on Bastion, and I guess I just looked here. I've got 53 Pocketcoin or whatever, guys. But how does that work? Am I earning Pocketcoin by uploading my video content and by blogging? And everybody who starts a channel can earn Pocketcoin?
Yes, it really depends on the amount of interaction that happens with your content. So people rate it highly. It depends on your audience. I mean, I will caution that if you don't have a large following, you're probably not going to make a lot. But if you do and you produce content consistently, you will earn Pocketcoin. And that's one of the ways, is just purely for activity on your channel. The other way that you can earn Pocketcoin is through this decentralized ad market that we're building, that's going to be released soon, where anybody can go and advertise and say, okay, Sean, I want to offer you to advertise this thing. And you look at it, you decide if you want to, you repost it to your channel and you get Pocketcoin through this kind of smart contract. So it's a whole system built to support creators on Bastion.
All right. And to be real clear for folks listening, they can go and start a Bastion channel right now for free and they don't need to buy Pocketcoin or anything. You can just launch a channel and have zero Pocketcoin, correct?
Yes. The only thing is, if you load video, because in Bastion, we don't require identification. There's no like password, ID, or even a phone number. It's not connected to your phone number at all. So it's a private social network. It's really important. We believe privacy is a human right, not something for criminals, but actually for law-abiding people. So when you open a private channel, you have to remember that if you want to load video, you just need to request Pocketcoin. The reason for that is there are too many bots that try to open the account and upload video. You have to request Pocketcoin, and then you'll be sent like 5 Pocketcoin, and then you'll be able to upload video. But all the textual content you can post right away.
Okay. All right. I will leave the link below to Bastion, and I'd encourage everybody listening to sign up. And I guess if anybody has any further questions, Daniel, is there anybody they can contact? Is there a tech support team, an email?
There is support@bastion.com. Support@bastion.com. Somebody will reply to you. I mean, it's not a corporation. There's not like a paid team, but just be a little bit patient. Somebody will get back to you with any question that you have.
Okay. I hope that we brought some added value and insights to the conversation about AI. I think maybe, friends, it's like everything else. The powers that ought not be, they use the fear model to control us. And maybe in the future, AI will again be one of those things they use to keep us scared and locked down. And if we live in fear, we'll be slaves. If we live with love and reject the fear, then we will live free. Boy, my heart goes out to those people in China, Daniel. I mean, they're just locking everybody down. And whether it's blamed on AI or not, they are using technology to track and trace every single person and thing in China. And they're locking these people down like slaves. And that's what the New World Order wants for us too. But we're not going to allow it in this country, are we?
That's right. And I think that that's why it's important to push back against excessive heroization of this AI thing. Because in China, that's what they did. They replaced whatever minimum even due process they had with AI. That's what they want to do. They want to say AI is your due process, because AI can't be wrong, right? AI is so infallible, then it's going to be judge, jury, and executioner for you. Why do you need a, you know, why do you need humans? It's infallible. And once people believe that to some degree and they allow that, then that's it, right? It can do anything. It can tell you, you go to jail for your thoughts. It can tell you it's going to fine you for doing something that you don't even know. You don't even know what's wrong with it. It can just be arbitrary. As soon as you believe that this machine is, you know, that's why I push back against this narrative, not because I want to be controversial or cute, because I believe that that infatuation with this AI thing is taking our eyes off the ball completely. It's like an opposite. Instead of looking where we should be looking, we're looking at this thing. It's like, wow, this thing is so strong. And we start discussing possibilities of it taking over the world. Whereas right under our noses, you know, the world is basically being, you know, depopulated.
All right. Very well said. Guys, our guest has been Daniel Sachkov. He's the founder of Bastion. I'll leave the link below. Daniel, thank you so much.
Thank you. Go join Bastion and we'll see you there.
All right. Thanks so much, friends. We appreciate each and every one of you. A special thanks to our subscribe stars and our members at sgtreport.tv, where we also have a server beyond the reach of Big Brother. And for real news every single day, guys, visit us for free at sgtreport.com. That's the antidote to corporate propaganda and Mockingbird mainstream media lies. God bless you and yours. Bye-bye.
They've lost their minds, and citizens are starting to wake up to it by watching the price inflation of everything around them. And they don't believe that it's Putin's price hike, right? Because 90% of people know that that is just silly talk from silly people. The central bankers are at the center of this. It's central planning.